Live from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two guys fumbling their way through the music business so you don't have to. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino and the Music Row Show.
All right. Hello, friends. Welcome to the Music Row Show. My name is Scott.
And my name is Hino. Hey, thanks so much for tuning in again tonight. This show is for all you songwriters and musicians and performers out there who are just trying to figure stuff out here in Music City.
That's right. Remember, we don't know a darn thing. We're out there shuffling songs around during the day just like you guys are. But we are able to bring brilliant, talented, smart people into the studio and pick their brains and give you the opportunity to visit with them as well.
Yeah, you can do that by going to facebook.com/The Music Row Show, and you can like us and chime in with your questions and comments right there. You can also hit us up on Twitter at The Music Row Show.
Yes, you can.
Perfect. Yes, right there. Now, we've got a big show.
Yeah. We got a big show. Yeah, absolutely. We have a hit songwriter, recording artist, the great Travis Meadows is here. He has a brand new CD. He's a good pal of the show, and we're excited to have him back here.
Absolutely. Then we're going to have hit bluegrass songwriter Tom Yutz. He's going to be here an hour or two to play some tunes and talk with us.
And now, he's a hit songwriter. He's a producer. He's a guitar player. Do you know Tom?
I do not.
Well, we're going to have to make that introduction here.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, well, hey, Hino, you know what I can't stand?
Me?
Yeah.
That was easy.
But other than that, it's too much ado.
Yeah.
So without any further
ado,
would you please introduce?
He is the master of segues. Well, listen, we are so thrilled to welcome back a longtime friend of the show, hit songwriter Travis Meadows with us here today. He's not only an amazing songwriter, he's an inspiration to many. He's been a cancer survivor, a preacher, a drunk, a poet who fearlessly exposes his darkest secrets and maybe even yours, too. His eloquent lyrics and his powerful melodies are just awesome. His latest CD is coming out this week, Friday the 13th. That's a good omen.
Yes.
It's called First Cigarette, and we're both big fans, and we're just pleased as punch to say, Travis Meadows, welcome back to the Music Row Show.
It's great.
Hey.
All right.
Wow. How about that? Now, first off, congratulations on using the word eloquent. That might just be the first time we've heard that on this show.
Could be.
I had to look it up.
Yeah. We try to keep them small here, but yeah. Hey, congratulations on the new CD. The CD is First Cigarette, and there's a few songs on iTunes right now.
Yes. Yeah, we started a pre-sale a week or two ago, and we were trying to give a little incentive. So when you pre-bought the record, you got a song or two for free. So I'm not sure how all that stuff works. This is the first record I've released, and actually had a little help.
We're going to talk about that because that's a cool thing for an independent artist out there. But there's an awful lot of work and thought that went into song selection for this record. Why is that? And what were you looking for?
Well, I wouldn't call it my claim to fame, but you know, Killing Uncle Buzzy was a record I did some years back, documenting me getting sober, and it was actually kind of an accidental life changer. You know, I was just working on a homework project that wound up growing legs and getting on famous people's buses, and people started recording those songs, and one thing led to another. Then people started inviting me to come play, and I'm like, good Lord, this is crazy. So then I wasn't that guy anymore. And I kind of wanted to express that, but I didn't really have a real record in me. So I did a project called Old Ghost and Unfinished Business, and that was really more just getting past Killing Uncle Buzzy. That was a little EP, and it was just something to keep me busy and kind of make me feel like I'm moving forward. But in my crazy head, I felt like it was time for a real record. To follow up, because now I've been out on the road for 5 or 6 years touring semi-extensively, and I needed a new project. first of all, you know, I'm not the same guy I was when I made that record. I still think it may be a lifetime project, but I had to let myself off the hook and not get in a competition with that record, because you can't win that fight.
Right.
So I just wanted to write and, you know, talk about where I'm at now. I get bored with these songs. I wouldn't say bored, but I mean, you know, I listen to them over and over and over again, and so sometimes I can get in my head real bad about that, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know, if I was sitting out in the audience listening to these terribly sad songs over and over and over, I'd kind of get tired of that punishment and maybe not show up anymore. And so I wanted to make sure that there was a little levity and a little more, hopeful content on that project. And I think we succeeded. There's still some heavy Travis stuff, you know, pretty fearless writing. I dare say some of the most fearless stuff I've ever done. But and then give people kind of a chance to catch their breath in between songs and, you know, laugh a little bit and whew, glad that's over kind of thing, you know.
Right.
And then move on to the next one, you know, the next wrist slitter.
Oh, well, that's good. Now, your songs to me always seem really honest, really from the heart. How much of it is autobiographical, and how much of it is just good storytelling?
Kid and Uncle Buzzy was, I learned a lot doing that project, because it actually was, every word of that was true, and I've never done that. I've always kind of taken liberties and creative license and just make it a good story, but I've never actually, you know, written that honestly about my life. It was actually quite self-indulgent, maybe too much so. But, you know, I give away secrets in all my songs. I'm kind of a one-trick pony. I don't know how to write anything unless I can get emotionally invested in the in the song. I kind of have to see myself in the video, you know?
Yeah.
So even, you know, even if you take a little creative license, there's not much. I mean, you know, all of this, I'm a self-indulgent writer. I write about me.
Yeah.
You know, I write about me.
And well, that's
I,
cool.
You know, I mean, that's where I write from.
Well, considering that you, as you said, a lot of your stuff is very, you know, emotional and gets right in there. Anything off limits, you know, when you, that you, in your life that you're just like, you know what, that's, that I don't write about.
I haven't gotten there yet. I did, you know, I not only do I work on my projects, but I do write, you know, with other artists and songwriters in town as well. I have a publishing deal, so, I have to show up and be creative. And 3 or 4 months ago, there was somebody came in, and I don't remember the exact story, but it says a lot about where I'm at personally. Somebody had just lost a child in this person's life, and they wanted to address that, and it was just too much for me. It was just, I can't do that today. So there have been things off limits, you know, in the songwriting room so far, that the things that I tackle on my records, I haven't found too much that I wouldn't talk about.
Well, that's good.
What about, because that has me thinking, I was just trying to picture you in a writing room with an artist, maybe a first time you've been with that particular artist, and they want to write a down by the lake, you know, bonfire short song.
Yeah.
I mean, is that, do you say, okay, man, let's do it, or are you able to?
Well, first of all, my publisher knows that, you know, that that's not what I do. And I think by this point, most of the writers in town know that as well, that
right.
I'm not the go-to guy for the, you know, for the Daisy Duke down by the river songs. So as a general rule, you know, when I told my publisher, I either want to write for my record or whoever I'm in the room with, I want to work on their record. You know, I've just hundreds and hundreds of songs at three different publishing companies, and you know, just a small handful have been recorded. So, you know, I've kind of slowed down my pace. That's one reason I started doing records, was so that I could, you know, write the songs that maybe, you know, especially today, you know, people just, for the most part, wouldn't record those kind of songs. So I started making records so I could say what I felt like I wanted to say without limits.
Yeah.
Mm.
One of the things I loved reading about was how you guys approached this recording process, you and your producers, because it's different than your typical Nashville recording. but it didn't start out that way. It started out with kind of your typical doing the tracks. Talk about that.
Yeah, it did. Jeremy Spielman is a great friend of mine and a very, very creative person, and I dare say one of the best country writers in this town, very overlooked. But he's also a great producer. He does his own demos, and so we've been friends for a long time, and we just, you know, kind of casually tossed around the idea about him, you know, doing a record, because that, you know, that way it wouldn't feel like there's any pressure. It's just two friends making music, you know, and so there was, because I don't like pressure at my age. My heart can't take it. And so we started talking, you know, and one thing led to another, and we wound up starting on the project, and we kind of did it, you know, like everybody else does. We, you know, we had a click track, and we laid the tracks down with a drummer. Me and Jack, I travel with a good friend of mine, Whiskey Jack, who is at all my shows. I, you know, I can't afford a band, so I just pay one guy to pretend to be a band. And he does a pretty daggum good job. So it was me and him and a drummer, and we would go down live to a click track, and we recorded, I don't remember, two or three songs. And Jay, the executive producer, who is, he's just on another planet.
Let's say his whole name, because I know Hino was, he loves his
Jay
work.
Joyce. He did all the little big town stuff. He did Eric Church's records. I mean, you know, I try to stay so busy, I don't know what anybody else is doing. That keeps me out of trouble. But I do know he made some, I think he made the last Carrie Underwood record because I played harmonica on it because of Jay, which was funny. I've never gotten a songwriting award, but I got a plaque the other day from a harmonica playing on her record. That was hilarious to me. But anyway, so Jay would come down in the morning. We would record. We just do better in the afternoons and nights. So Jeremy and I would start, you know, 2 or 3 in the afternoon and just kind of go till we couldn't go anymore. And then Jay would come in and stick his head in the door in the morning, listen, and give suggestions. And morning number one or two, I don't remember exactly when it was. I'm terrible with that stuff. But the basic idea, we had 2 or 3 tracks, and he came down, and Jay listened to it, and he said, man, with all due respect, I just don't believe this. It doesn't sound authentic. It does, you know, I mean, I thought we were making a songwriter record, and this doesn't sound like a guy playing a guitar and singing his songs from the heart. He said, did you play guitar while you were singing? And I went, no, we laid the guitar down, and then I sang it later. And he went, there you go. I said, man, let's ditch all that stuff and let's start over. And you play guitar and sing just like you do in a club, man, and kind of approach it with that kind of, realistic approach. And so that wound up, you know, we just took the click track completely off of every song, so there's no click track on the record at all. There's no auto tune, and very few punches. It kind of turned into our ego got involved after a while, and you know, in a good way, I guess, and just like, let's try to do this in one take or just two takes. And so the whole record is a lot of first and second takes on the vocals. And Sideways in particular was one take. I sat down, played it on the guitar, and we were done. So
that's crazy.
And so it's terrifying now, because you have to keep in mind that people have been listening to music on the radio now with all that. People are trained to hear voices tuned, and a lot of people don't even realize they're hearing that, but it's slick music that we're listening today, and this is kind of like 1975, man. And so it's terrifying because there's nobody doing that, you know. We just kind of went back to primitive everything, you know, and I actually had to sing on key or, you know, and sometimes I don't, and kept the bad performances because it had soul. So
I'm really surprised that the Music Row Police didn't come and, you know, no auto-tune or click track. I mean, that's against
the
rules.
We locked the door. We just locked the door and wouldn't let them in.
Did that give you any issues later when it came to mixing and editing in terms of not having a click track?
No, they're not really big tracks. There's a couple of them. Some of them sound like full band. A lot of them are just guitar and, you know, me and Jack, kind of like what we do live.
Mm-hmm.
We just kind of took an approach of, you know, let's add what it needs, but stop when it's enough, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. You don't need 47 instruments
on
every song.
No, we don't need a
yeah.
horn section. And so, you know, so we just kind of took that approach. And I'm really, it was either a stroke of genius or it's the dumbest thing I've done in my life.
I doubt that very much. I think stroke of genius is probably
I will but I will, you know, Jeremy Jeremy and Jay were very, very helpful in this, because I can get in my head real bad and kind of, you know, forget what we're doing and get emotionally connected to something, and you know, that's not working. Well, what did I do wrong? You know, mm-hmm. and so they were great about it. You didn't do anything wrong. We just need to try another approach. So
That's cool. Well, let's take a break. This segment was brought to you by KEMC Global. This is an organization that if you're looking to take your music to Europe, to England, to Germany, to UK. This is a great organization to get to know, KEMC Global. Check them out on Facebook. Check them out on the web. They can help you with pushing singles. They can help you with setting up tours. So give them a call and let them see what they can do for you. And we're going to be back with much more with Travis Meadows. You're listening to the Music Roast Show. We're going to be right back. Stick around.
Felt like love. Me and Debbie couldn't get enough. Something in us was opening up for the first time. I'd kiss those lips, it tastes like smoke. Hit every light on Terry Road. Yes, men, yes, and no, men, no. But she never said no. I smelled like Daddy's Old Spice. She looked just like paradise. When you're living on the edge of your seat and you're waiting on something, anything to happen, her in those tight jeans, wearing out the Dairy Queen, waiting on Springsteen, stereo blasting, too much magic to wonder. On Friday night, world on fire, desire burning up your hands, and pray for John Boulay.
All right, welcome back to the Music Roast Show. That's Pray for Jungle Land. That's the first cut off of Travis Meadows' brand new project called First Cigarette. Love that song.
Me too.
That's a cool song. What's the story behind that one?
I was watching Springsteen at the Bridgestone Arena, and a friend of mine at the time was working for the Rankin County News. He was a writer. He's back as far as I can remember, he was a writer. He's actually maybe my oldest living friend. I don't really remember life without him. We were in the same neighborhood. Anyway, long story short, he texts me. I'm sitting there watching Springsteen, and he goes, I want to do an article on you, and give me a call. I said, great, I'm watching Springsteen. When Springsteen's over, I'll give you a holler. And he says, yeah, cool, when the video's over. And I sent him back. I said, oh, no, I'm not watching a video. I'm watching the boss at the Bridgestone Arena. And, you know, when you get mad at somebody on the phone, you can double-click that arrow on the iPhone.
Right.
And
it all caps.
And that means I'm yelling at you.
Right.
And he said, turn your blank phone off and pray for Jungle Land. And when he said "Pray for Jungle Land," I saw it. I saw the whole thing. It, and that rarely happens, but I saw it, man. It was me and I didn't even change her name. It was me and Debbie. I had a Mustang riding up and down them streets in Jackson, Mississippi, and I'd be praying, you know, God, please turn these light red so I can lean over and kiss her right on the mouth, and it tastes like cigarettes and Miller ponies.
Yeah. Wow.
That was kind of Forrest Gumpian, but he liked it. You remember that?
Yeah.
I didn't like that. She tasted like cigarettes. Travis is like, yeah, and Miller ponies.
Yeah. Good stuff.
So you touched on this briefly, but this is your first project working with an actual label, with a team of people around you. From the perspective of someone who's already released two CDs as an independent troubadour, what does a label bring to the table these days for you?
Well, I can only speak from my experience. My experience, you know, just having a team and not trying to wear every hat, you know, because I've been trying to keep all of these plates spinning, and then for the past, you know, few years I've had a young man named Patrick helping me spin plates, so he spins a few and I spin a few, and but it's quite overwhelming. We were doing all the booking, you know,
right.
I mean everything, and so just to you know, to concentrate a little bit more on one or two plates and not, you know, 47. And the branding, you know, Patrick's actually done a really great job of, you know, my presence on social media and stuff, but man, they have upped it. I got a thing brewing with the Huffington Post. I did Rolling Stone. We just did a thing with NPR that's going to air, the day after the record release. There's no way I could call NPR and ask them could we do a story. So there's been
right.
a little. It's been nice to have a little muscle behind it. It do make a difference.
Awesome. Well, what if anything has been the hardest thing for you to let go of?
It hadn't been that hard for me. That goes all the way back to my rehab days when I started. You know. Started starting over. I mean, I lost everything, and so my whole life kind of became completely around accepting and letting things go, because it turns out I'm not nearly as powerful as I thought I was. I checked into rehab years ago, and I thought Universal, you know, I was with them at the time, you know, those poor things, they're gonna have to shut the place down while I'm going to rehab. Ain't nobody gonna write a song or nothing. They didn't even know I was gone.
Wow, what a shame.
Yeah,
they just kept writing them, huh?
They just kept, the world kept right on spinning.
I'll be darned.
You know, so I learned a lot, you know, from that. So but a lot of that has to do with the team, because the team, you know, really, you know, bought they're believers in the music, you know, so it's not just, you know, a bunch of people trying to make some money. They actually believe in the project,
right.
And believe in the songs and believe in me and my delivery. So we're all kind of pointing in the same direction. So that makes it a lot easier.
Very, very cool. Awesome. Well, I would love to hear a song. You feel like playing one for us?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Guitar's right there.
I got to get my.
Oh, he's got special equipment. Look at this.
That's all right. That's all right. We will take this second to remind you that we can find this CD on October 13th, which is this Friday.
Yeah.
The CD is called First Cigarette, Travis Meadows. And Travis, what's your website?
TravisMeadows.com.
TravisMeadows.com. Easy enough.
Look at him. He is.
He is now ready.
He is locked and loaded.
Well, I mean, as good as a man can be that quick. Think it thing. Hold on one second. I started this five string tuning a while back. Somebody taught me, and I kind of I had a love affair with it for years and years, and then I forgot it, and or forgot about it, and then I started using another thing. And long story short, it kind of makes me sing different playing in this tuning, and I wanted to get back to my Mississippi roots. I was down in Clarksdale, Mississippi at the Shack Up Inn, and, looking for something. I'm not sure what, but I was kind of looking for something, and then this song came out, and that's when I knew that I had a record in me. This was, so the whole record kind of revolves around this. I was down at a treatment center in Opelousas, Louisiana for adolescents. Those two words should not go together, adolescent treatment center, but they do, and we were sharing, and this young lady started sharing something, and we were talking about it, and one of the counselors just said, you know, if you push it down, it comes out sideways, and it just nailed me. I left the room, and I went, you know, mentally, I left the room. I was still sitting there, but it was, it was great. Anyway, Sideways. I could buy myself a conscience that wasn't broken, mend every fence I drove my heart head through, Relock all the doors I wish I never opened. Unlearn the things I wish I never knew. And it came out through the bottle, came out through my fists, came out way too early, I wish it never did. Push it down, it comes out sideways. Push it down, it comes out sideways. Yes, it does. Bad note. Bitter roads turn into highways. Push it down, it comes out sideways, sideways. I have days where it's just nose above the water. Keep it together while I fall apart. I have moments when I act just like my father, the only man who ever broke my heart. And it comes out in the silence, sometimes unwanted tears. Comes out disguised as anger, but it's really fear. Push it down, it comes out sideways. Push it down, it comes out sideways. Bitter roads turn into highways. Push it down, it comes out sideways, sideways, sideways. Push it down, it comes back up. 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 Push it down, it comes out sideways. Push it down, it comes out sideways. Bitter roads turn into highways. Push it down, it comes out sideways, sideways. I think I was out of tune. And clear.
Yeah, man.
Love that.
Wow.
I love that a lot.
Thank you
now
very
that
much.
That song seemed to me like stuffing bad stuff down so you don't have to deal with it now.
Exactly.
I don't know if I'm right about that.
No,
but
you're exactly right.
What's the story behind that?
Well, yeah. You know, like I said, I was down at a treatment center and talking to these kids, and basically I would sing some songs and just tell my story, you know. It's so funny. I do the same thing in a treatment center I do in a bar. I just tell stories and talk about myself and sing songs about my life, you mm-hmm. know, and just talk about my life. But it translates. I think the broken part, people just identify with it because we all have those scars and we have these broken things. And but anyway, I was down there and I sang a song or two and talk a little bit, and then I said, well, you know, you've heard me telling my story. If we were going to write your story, what would we write? And a couple hands went up, and this girl shared a story that was just, I remember thinking, I'd want to get high too, you know, after what she said. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to give it away. And I remember saying, how does that make you feel? And one tear rolled down her cheek, and she wiped it away, and she said, I don't feel nothing. And I mean, I'm stunned. I don't know what to do from here. And one of the counselors, thank goodness, was, you know, he said, you know, honey, if the only thing you have to work with is a hammer, you're going to treat the whole world like a nail. And it's okay to have more than one emotion, and because if you push it down, it comes out sideways. And when he said that, then it kind of, you know, moved into, when I were working on me, you know, and so mentally I started thinking about me, because our society for the longest time, I think we're getting better about talking about our feelings, but our society, especially as men, we've been told you man up. You don't talk about your feelings. You know, you just bite your lip and you keep getting up and you keep going. And talking about your feelings is not something that we do. This is not a way that we handle our problems. Mm-hmm. And so that's the society that I grew up in. And when I started going to rehab, I started realizing there's something really powerful about talking to somebody else, another human being, about what you're going through and how it makes you feel. And quite frankly, it's life-changing. I wonder even recently if that fella in Las Vegas, if maybe he didn't have somebody to talk to. I'm not going to say that he wouldn't have done that, but you have to wonder if he had somebody to talk to. And all that pent-up anger and aggression, you know, if he had somebody to express that to, would something have changed? You don't know. Mm-hmm. Mm. But anyway.
Well, great song, nonetheless, and a powerful story with it. So that's cool stuff.
Yeah,
and when I read it, and when you were saying push it down, it comes outside. Yeah. I was like,
yeah,
good gravy.
Yeah,
and the anger part of that was really that line of, you know, I told you earlier that I kind of always give away some secrets in my songs, and that line about you know, my father being the only man that broke my heart was true, you know, and it took me years to come to grips with that. You know, he was 16 or 17 years old when he had me, man. He didn't know what he was doing.
Sure.
He didn't know how to be a dad. It didn't change my anger towards him for years. And then I wound up being an alcoholic, and just like him. And that made me even madder. And so I finally had to let him off the hook, you know. But the anger thing, and it's actually rooted in fear, was the part that I really identified with. I felt like, you know, that may be one of the strongest things I've ever said in any song, and it just kind of goes by and you don't really notice it, but the whole thing about, and it comes out disguised as anger, but it's really fear. That is, because a lot of times if I get mad, I have to stop and go, what am I afraid of?
Yeah, so, what's causing this?
Yeah.
What's causing this? Well, hey, we need to take a break.
I was afraid you were going to say that.
I am going to say that. But this segment, you are not going to be afraid of this, is brought to you. We'll push it sideways. this segment's brought to you by Buddy Hyatt. BuddyHyatt.com. Let me tell you something. If you're going to record, you need demos, you're working on an independent project, or you're working on a major project, Buddy Hyatt's the way to go.
Absolutely. He's just an amazing producer, and he's got an amazing team of musicians working with him that will make you sound amazing.
Drop also a couple names, because I'm about to drop a name that will make Tom happy.
Brent Mason.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I idolize that guy.
Mike Johnson.
Yeah.
Mark Fain on the bass. Whoop,
yep.
Whoop. Tom worked with him just recently.
All right.
Yeah, so good stuff. Listen,
very good stuff.
You're
going to
be amazed. Go ahead.
Yeah, you can find him online.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. If it wasn't your birthday, you know, we'd let you get away with that. Happy birthday to you, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Anyway, BuddyHyatt.com, that's the website. He's got a couple sessions coming up, so you want to go reserve your spot right now. And we are going to be back with a whole lot more of Travis Meadows here on the Music Row Show, so come on back.
Chuckle shades, loners on holidays, old men chasing glory days, young lovers with broken hearts, old soldiers missing parts. Yeah, we all got battle scars. Maybe that makes us who we are. We are.
Yeah, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's Underdogs, Travis Meadows off of his new CD.
For I'm not
cigarette.
Done with that yet. Hold on.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm done with
that. That's a great song.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's probably the most upbeat I've heard of your songs. That's a
like,
real
out of the whole catalog.
Yeah, I mean
ever.
that's like a rousing, you know, crowd sing along kind of thing. Yeah,
I needed one, man. I needed one. I was actually riding with Cactus Mosier, who is married to Winona, and we hit it off. We had a lot of things in common, and then we wrote that day, and we hit it off so well. He called Cobalt. I was writing for Cobalt at the time, and got just about my whole catalog, and took it to Winona, and they started going through, and she wound up recording two of my songs on her last project because of this song. So that's this song really has a lot going on. But like I was telling you earlier, you know, I was looking at this from an audience perspective, trying not to, you know, even though the records are self-indulgent, I'm up here talking about myself, I do really care about these people because they're spending money to come and see me.
Right.
And I'm thinking, you know, I need to give them something. And so I did make sure that this record has some upbeat and some things that just kind of, you know, I was seeing. When I wrote Killing Uncle Buzzy, I wasn't out playing as many dates as
right.
I was. You know, I was in the fetal position somewhere, you know, for most of the day, just drinking vodka. So I wasn't playing anywhere. But now that I've been touring and playing, I've kind of gotten in touch and sympathetic to the people listening to the shows, and I wanted some songs for them. And so that's where songs like Underdogs came from.
That's a great song.
Let's talk about what very well may be the coolest cover art I've ever seen on a CD. I mean, this is, I would buy this if I didn't know you. I would buy this just because, you know, I remember when I was a kid, my mom and dad had all the LPs, all the albums,
yeah.
right? And there were some that I would just sit and look at for hours just because they were cool looking.
Yeah.
And this is a great looking CD cover. So talk about this. Were you in the decision making process here, or how did that come out?
Yeah, we were leaning a completely different direction, and what happened was we started going through some personal storms, and my girlfriend and I started talking about getting married maybe in October or November. And about the same time we started making plans and talking about, you know, maybe getting married, she had the cancer thing that we had to deal with, a breast cancer. So we started having to, you know, go down that very long, painful road. And I have to tiptoe through this because I know we're on, you know, a family program, but I remember, you know, her looking me in my eyes and going, you know, what sucks about this the most is this is the only part of my body that I like. This is the only part of my body that I really like. And mm-hmm. the fact that, you know, we have to radically, you know, it was a tough road. And I was having a hard time going to sleep one night, and I had a vision. I lie not. I saw that album cover. I saw it. And I talked to her about it. You know, I've got a three-legged dog, and I lost a leg to cancer, and I wanted to document her boobs, and so that particular that's what it is. It's kind of James Bond looking, kind of Norman Rockwell meets James Bond. You know, mm-hmm. so it's cool looking, but it also is it's the last picture of her boobs. Sadly, right after that, my dog came up missing and then wound up dead. So that is actually, and that dog changed my life.
Yeah.
The Tennessean.
You
did
rescued
an article.
That dog.
Yeah, and then the Tennessean did an article and just did a great job and said, you know, really, I wasn't sure if he saved me or I saved him, but he came up missing. So that was a painful thing. So that's actually the last picture of my dog as well. So it's bittersweet, to look at that cover. But I'm really proud of it. I don't think I've ever had a vision like that where it just, I'm laying there and there it is. It was plain as day and I knew it. And I called the label and I said, I need to talk to you because I'm going to do something that's going to scare you. and I set up the photo shoot and then I sent him the picture. I said, here's the album cover. And you know, at first he's like, you know, I'm sure this would be helpful somewhere. You know, that we could use it.
We could put it somewhere.
There'd be somewhere for
like
it.
Like in your house?
Yeah. And I text him back and I just said, I'm too emotionally attached to this to talk to you about it right now. But we took the conversation up and my manager talked to him and said, you know what, if anybody in this town deserves a controversial cover, it'd be somebody, you know, as controversial as Travis, because he's built an entire career over him being a drunk and trying to get sober, you know, and all this dark stuff. And he said, come on. And so and the label bought into it, and I'm so glad. So that there's another example of what I was talking about. Everybody kind of has the same vision, so it's not like we're, you know, bumping heads and trying to fight to make things happen.
And just for people listening who can't, you know, obviously see it, it's not like we're talking some graphic thing or anything. It's very tasteful.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, just cool looking. Yeah, you can go to TravisMeadows.com. You can see the picture.
Yeah, it's not a bad picture.
No. It totally looks like a James Bond thing to me. You know? But there's a lot of overcoming, you know, and that's really what my career is based on, is getting knocked down and getting back up, you know?
Awesome.
Well, I would say if Stanley Kubrick was directing a James Bond movie
while recording a Travis Meadows album.
Right.
That's the picture that would come out.
Right.
Yeah.
Why don't we take a break?
We should, because that's one thing we can't overcome. We do need to take a break right now, but we're going to come back with a whole lot more of Travis Meadows here on the Music Row Show, so come on back.
I've been hungry like a stray dog in an old abandoned town. Went running just for running's sake, 'cause I couldn't settle down. I have dined with kings and princes, been granted all three wishes. They all just left me wishing I had more. And I keep trying to get high, but the need for satisfaction leaves me so unsatisfied. I am a little more content, a little more content with who I am than who I was. And I have learned to love the comfort when it comes, like a first cigarette in the morning.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That is First Cigarette off of the album First Cigarette by Travis Meadows, our guest here this hour.
Hey, Hino, you know what we haven't brought up?
What?
There is a CD release party in just 2 weeks.
What?
The 24th, is that correct?
I think so. Yeah,
24th.
24th at where?
Third and Lindsley.
Third and Lindsley, what time?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
Patrick,
Central.
You're doing a great job. Keep it going. 8 o'clock, and can anybody come? Or just important muckety-mucks?
No, I want to fill it up. I was actually really nervous. I was really nervous about Third and Lindsley. I usually play, you know, Bluebird once or twice, and I play Douglas Corner. That's kind of my hang. And I can always sell out Douglas Corner. And but, you know, I take those people and put them in Third and Lindsley, and it's going to look,
it's
you
quite
know,
a bit bigger.
Yeah, and so I'm a little worried. So please, all of you, come out and bring your whole families.
Okay. I like that. I will be there. That sounds great. You've spoken several times about how, after all those stints in rehab, that you've learned a thing or two about gratitude.
Yeah.
How does that inform your music and how you approach your career?
Man, I don't know. That's a tough question. You may need to have somebody more intelligent than
Patrick.
Patrick, can you answer this question?
Can you answer his question?
you know, I think it does come out in the lyric, the lyrical content, you know. In that song, you know, I keep trying to get high, but the need for satisfaction leaves me so unsatisfied. But I'm a little more content with who I am than who I was. And I've learned to love the comfort when it comes, like a first cigarette in the morning buzz. That first cigarette in the morning is my legal buzz. That's the only thing I do, you know, after getting clean and sober. And it only works once. And it's that first cigarette.
Just in the morning, yeah.
Yep, that one time. And so instead of, you know, complaining about it the rest of the day, trying to find it again, I just, you know, man, that was a good one. And that's it, you know, and move on. But I've learned to appreciate, because life is challenging, man, on all of us. It is challenging, and sometimes it can be, you know, joyous. You get it all. I remember them telling me when I was getting out of rehab, you get one door, buddy, and if you open it, you know, you can't pick and choose and get the happy stuff. You get all your feelings, you know, the good and the bad. And so if you open that door, and I said, I think I'm ready. So the great thing about, you know, getting your feelings back is, you know, you get your feelings back. But the terrible thing about getting your feelings back is that you get your feelings back. So,
yeah.
But anyway, this particular song, I'd love to say we were about to give up on it.
Really?
Yeah. I always heard it as a rocker,
Did you record it that way at first?
Yeah, and just nothing we did was working. And we had several more songs and submit. Let's just scratch it, and move on. And here's another. I lie not. Jeremy and I were having that very discussion. He said, "Okay, well, fine. Let's move on. I love the song, but we have some other strong ones. Let's move forward." And he got the ding on his phone, and he looks down, and Jay Joyce sent him an email, a text, and he said, "You know, Travis has been kind of yelling at me for 3 or 4 days. I'd kind of like to hear him singing soft, like he's trying not to wake somebody up in the next room."
Okay.
And Jeremy smiled, and he said, "You want to try that on this one?" And I went, "Yeah, let's try it." And we went in, and the engineer, because we wanted Jack on mandolin, the engineer picked up the guitar, and we made one pass, and that's what we just listened to.
Man.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love stories like that. That you couldn't have planned that.
No, there's no way. So it was just a lot of synchronicity going on.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we're about out of time, so let's make sure we cover up. Wow. Look at you. Website. Where do we find you?
TravisMeadows.com.
All right. And
CD release party. October 24th.
Yep.
All right. And socials, where can people find you on, like, Facebook?
Just go to my website. Everything's there. Facebook, that's all shopping right there.
Nice.
Twitter, Facebook, all of it is on TravisMeadows.com.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you. Thanks so much for coming back. We wish you lots of luck with the album because it's awesome. And we'll see you next time, I hope.
Yeah. Let's do it again.
Hey, we've got another great hour coming up. We've got Tom Utes coming up.
Yes, we do.
Great songwriter. And you're going to want to come back. You're not going to want to miss that. So see you in a few minutes on The Music Row Show.